This is an interview with Belita Wilson, who served with the Air Force Nursing Corps during the Korean War. The interview is being conducted at about 9 a.m. On the following date of March 24, 2007, and the interviewer is Terry MacDonald. Val, can you tell us a little bit about your background as the year you were born, where you were born at?
I was born on October 9th, 1928, in Chamberlain, South Dakota. We really lived on a farm-ranch combination 25 miles south of there.
Okay. And did you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and one sister, both older than I am.
And had they served in the military?
No.
Okay. How about your parents?
My dad was supposed to go on active duty the day the armistice was signed, so he didn't have to go.
I'll be married. Did you graduate from high school?
I graduated from Chamberlain High School in 1946.
And can you tell us what were you doing prior to you going into the Air Force?
Well, I had spent 3 years getting my RN license. I worked at the hospital. I trained for a year, and then I went to Baylor University Hospital for postgraduate work. And while there, I met or had a classmate who had served in the Navy and was going back into the Navy. And since I had no specific job at the time, I said, why don't you join the military?
What year was that?
1951.
Okay. And so what made you join the Air Force?
Because they were the only nurse corps that left you go overseas before you had been stateside for 2 years.
Hmm. And when you went into the Air Force, did you have to go through a basic training or being a nurse? Did they put you?
They put us directly in the hospital. We were supposed to go to basic training later, but I was scheduled to go in December, and by that time I was already in Japan.
Now, as a nurse, did they give you an officer ranking at the time?
Yes, I went into the Air Force as a second lieutenant.
Okay. And what was your first job like? You were assigned to a hospital?
I was at a hospital at McCord Air Force Base at Tacoma, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Were you a specialty nurse of some sort?
Well, there I worked on the ward. I worked on the medical ward. Then I was supervisor of what they called the Gold Breaking Award, where men were assigned waiting for testing to see if they actually had what they said they had, like a sore back or something. Mm-hmm. And then I supervised the orthopedic ward.
Okay. Now, how long was it before they sent you to Japan?
I went on active duty in May of 1951, and by October of 1951, I was in Japan.
Now, in Japan, was the hospital where you were working at, was it basically handling the servicemen from Korea?
Yes, the planes came in from Korea, and we triaged them. And our hospital was capable of keeping 52 patients. And the rest of the patients were sent to Tokyo Army.
Okay. And at that hospital there, as a triage nurse, so then you must have saw quite a few battlefield injuries then.
We saw a lot of them. Fact is, after we finished triaging, we opened the operating room and sometimes operated for 3 days straight.
Wow. Now, in Japan, what kind of living conditions did they have for you set up at the...
There was a two-story dormitory right connected to the hospital.
And was there a lot of women working at the hospital?
Yes. Okay. There were a lot of nurses stationed there.
So how did you eventually get it sent to Korea then?
Well, friends of mine had gone to Korea, and the chief nurse knew me, and they had problems with the first operating room supervisor they had, so she requested me by name, rank, and serial number.
So you had a little pull to get overseas, whether you wanted to or not.
Fact is, when she requested me, I had not yet signed up to be one of the nurses to go to Korea. Oh. But a friend of mine that was over in Korea says, come on, sign up and come be our operating room supervisor.
So what area in Korea were you assigned to?
I was assigned to K8, which is Kunsan, which is south of Seoul, but right on the Yellow Sea, 9 miles from Red China.
Hmm. And was that a very big facility or base? Or?
Well, we took care of 2 Marine units, 2 Air Force units, and an Army unit. So there was about 1,500 men that were eligible to use that hospital.
And you being a triage nurse in the operating room, that was pretty important job.
Well, I was the only operating room nurse on the base.
Wow.
There were only 8 nurses, and I was the only operating room trained nurse.
Now, were there very many nurses assigned to Korea at the go-in country itself, or...
Well,
you
just,
one of the few?
Just the 8 that were at this base.
Were the only
ones that were actually assigned to go to Korea and stay there.
Wow.
The flight nurses were based in Japan and flew in and out.
Okay.
But there were other nurses. In fact, in Sweden, not only had female nurses, they had female doctors there.
Hmm.
There was a... practically a UN unit in Korea. We had Australians and Swedes, and I don't remember all the others.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were there then. What kind of living conditions did you have there?
Well, this base had been built by the Japanese when they occupied Korea. So we actually had a small house with a living room, a bathroom, and 3 bedrooms. The 2 of the houses were nurses were assigned to live in.
And how about the hospital itself? Was it a...
It was a Quonset hut type.
Okay.
It had no lining in the inside, so you used the 2x4s to set things on.
So basically you're saying then there was no insulation or anything?
No, there wasn't.
So what was it like in the wintertime? I mean,
it was cold. They had oil burners, big pot-bellied oil burners all through. We did have a steam jenny for the operating room because of the explosiveness of the gases that they used in anesthesia.
So where you were at, well, then you were catching people coming right off the line then?
Yes.
And doing a triage work with them?
Well, we didn't get, I saw more wounded in Japan than I did in Korea.
Really?
Because our hospital, being a permanent hospital, they air-evac people into Japan. We took care of the things that needed to be taken care of by the other units that's
in so that they could be going back to duty then, more or less like...
Oh,
people that didn't need to be...
People, we did tonsillectomies. We, other injuries that people might get.
Mm-hmm. How long did you spend in Korea then?
I went there in July of 1952, and I left there in March of 1953.
Now, when you're over there, did you run into any... did you see any USO shows or anything? Did they bring any?
Oh, yes, we saw some. General Eisenhower, after he had been elected president, before he took office, he came and visited. And we had several other USO shows that came. Mm-hmm.
Did you meet any important people when you were over there that you think of?
Well, I met the... Oh, I can't think of his name. He was the commander of the Far East of military. And I also met MacArthur.
Okay.
I can't think of any. I met the man that replaced MacArthur, and I can't think of his name on that.
When you were over there, was there any interesting stories that happened that you can stick vividly in your mind?
Well, vividly that sticks in my mind was we had a faulty bomb explode on the flight line, and we ended up with one person that eventually passed away. He had lost both of his legs and one arm and a big hole in his liver. And he also had been burnt. So, and then we had another young man that he had just gotten word that he had a son. And the only thing he talked about was getting home and teaching his kid how to play football. And he lost one of his legs in that.
So you were in a dangerous situation, even though you weren't on the front lines, it was still dangerous where you were at.
Oh, yes. We had what they called I can't think of the name that we called them, but bombs from red, small planes from Red China would come in under the radar and open the cockpit and drop bombs filled with broken glass and rusty nails. But none of them ever did any damage of great concern.
So how was your life in the military then? Can you basically describe what it was like serving during war period?
As a nurse, sir, you did the same things you would have done in the civilian life. That was one of the reasons they left nurses skip basic training at the beginning, because we did the same thing we would have been doing in civilian life.
Now, being in a hospital setting, where you did you work shifts, or were you basically on call all the time, or how did that work for you?
In Korea, I was the only one, so I was on call 24/7. But in Japan, since there were several operating room nurses, we took turns doing triage. But if the operating room was working, you worked every day.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to get any time off when you were over there?
Or? Oh, yes. I did a lot of going around Japan, and I also volunteered to be a nurse on the weekends up at a ski lodge that the United States has had for rest and relaxation for people coming back for R&R from Korea. And I worked the weekend up there.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was it like when it was getting time to be sent home then? Did they tell you had a certain amount of time you were going to spend there, or didn't you know when you first went over?
Oh, I didn't know when I first went over. But you got double time while you were in Korea, so the length of stay for nurses in the Far East then was 3 years. But because I got double time for Korea, I came home before 3 years were up.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you stay in for a while, or did you get discharged?
No, I stayed in. I first went to Tinkerfield, Oklahoma. From there, I went to Lackland Air Force Base to the School of Anesthesiology, where I was trained to be a nurse anesthetist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there from 1st of January 1954 till sometime in 1953.
Hmm.
Then I went to Southern California to March Air Force Base. I was in over a little over 8 years.
Yeah.
The reason I ended up getting out was I got married and got pregnant, and when you got married and pregnant back then, they told you goodbye.
They didn't let you stay in at all.
No.
So then was your husband a military?
Yes, he was a pilot.
Oh. How did you get to Green Bay area then?
Because he was from Abrams, Wisconsin.
Okay. So when you got your discharge then, and was your husband at the base and you just stayed at the base there then?
Yes.
When you got married? Okay.
Well, I was working at one base and he was at another when we got married. But then after I got discharged, we were at March Air Force Base.
Did they have the adequate housing for you?
We lived off base. We had bought our own home 5 miles from the base.
Okay. When you got out, did you join any veterans organizations?
Not until after I divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband was very much a loner. He didn't like joining things and he didn't want me to join things.
Mm-hmm. So how did you find out about the all-women's?
I saw an ad in the newspaper that they were having a lunch for women veterans, and I went to that.
Okay, and you signed up? And
I signed up, and I've been a member ever since. This is my third time to be commander of the post, and I'm also a member of the Honor Society of Women Legionnaires, which is called the 20 and 4, and I've been its director for the state several times, and I have been the national director of the Honor Society of Women Legionnaires.
Wow, that's quite an accomplishment to get a national title.
Right now I'm the national dispersing director, in other words, the national treasurer.
Good for you. Good for you. Did when you were in or after you got out, did you use any of the benefits from the service?
Yes, I did. The house we bought in Abilene, Texas, I used my military. And then in Wisconsin, I got money from Wisconsin Veterans Group to put new siding on my house.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I use the VA for my health care and get my medications through it.
Good, good. Serving in Korea, did you receive any citations or medals for your service over there?
No, South Dakota gave me a bonus.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask, being in a combat area. Have you kept in touch with any people you served with over the years?
I did call one of the women that I worked with at March Air Force Base. She's out of the service now and lives in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
But and for a long time I kept in touch with one of the nurses that had been in Korea when I was there.
Okay. You know, it's different at that time, not a whole lot of women served in the military and stuff. What was it like looking back and being one of the really few women that served it, and being one of the few women that served in Korea at that time?
As we said at the meeting we had last Saturday, we'd all do it over again.
Just something you did at that time, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. So what did you think about your military experiences? Was it good or bad, or how would you judge it as a...
Well, as a nurse in the military, being an officer, it was a good duty.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, the Air Force sent me to school for a year, which in civilian life, I would have had to go to school to be in the nest just without being paid.
Mm-hmm.
Where the military paid me my wages the whole time I was in school.
After you got out, did you continue to be a nurse?
Yes. The fact is, I retired from Bellin Hospital after working there 18 years.
Good. Can you think of anything else you'd like to say about your military service?
Well, I enjoyed it because I love to travel, and I ended up getting to see a lot of the United States and also the Far East.
What did your children think of it after, when they found out the mothers served in the Air Force?
Didn't bother them one way or the other. Fact is, my youngest son went through medical school on an Air Force scholarship.
Good, good.
And then served in the first Gulf War over in Saudi Arabia.
So what was your final ranking when you got out of the military?
My final ranking was a captain. I had received my captain's bars in April of 1958, and I got out of the Air Force in March of 1959.
Okay. That's a pretty high rank. That's a...
It was, by the luck of the draw, they had some leftover captain's bars, I think. And one of the nurses that had been a chief nurse at March Air Force Base when I was first stationed there was on the board choosing who should get these extra ranks, and she suggested that I should get one. So I got my captain's bars in April of 1958.
Okay. Good enough.